It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome into the LeBat studio. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in with Bobby Flo, Andrew P. Shea, and this week it's going to be Ask Bob and Andy. And if you want to get your PSU questions answered, download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see both the Ask Ross and the Ask Greg buttons. And don't forget to head to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue needs, great sauces, rubs, and of course their Bloody Mary mix. That's 409tailgateclub.com. All right, we ready to answer some questions?
I wonder what these are about.
Well, let's see.
I wonder what these are about. Did you eliminate half of them with the fourth and five question?
Well, first of all, I purged a lot of the older questions. So, guys, if we didn't get to your question, they were purged because we wanted to talk Ohio State. Although I do have a couple that are interesting that came before the Ohio State game. Let's start with Jeff from Oakdale. And guess what he wants to talk about? Well, he says, I understand the focus on fourth and five, but win or lose, why in the world would you call as many lateral plays against a fast defense like Ohio State? That was more of an issue offensively, according to Jeff from Oakdale. Bob?
Well, you know, I just think that Penn State does have some athletes, and the game plan, it's an RPO, and the matchups are what they are. Penn State should have had more than, obviously they should have had more than 26 points. They left some points on the table, especially in the first half when they were moving the ball at will. I would say, Andy, my issue was more about the finish on some drives than it was maybe about, you know, where the plays were going. They just had so many chances maybe to make some big plays. We didn't even get to really talk about the play that really hurt them at the end of the first half, the fumble. But, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes you just have to give the other guy a little bit of credit. It was unfortunate to see this team just kind of get tired in the fourth quarter. And to me, that was really the story of the game. Not to answer the question. It was more about Penn State running out of gas, I think, just because of the way that they played some of their guys. And it's unfortunate. It speaks to their depth.
I didn't have a problem necessarily with the lateral plays. Like, the question goes for what if you watch, when you go back and watch the game in the Big Ten hour thing, what you come to realize is that 26 was the low totem pole for Penn State in terms of points. Like, if you watch the game and didn't know what happened, like, you watch them go up and down the field and not finish and leave points on the board. For an offense that scores 50 a game and you get 26, it wasn't Ohio State stopping them. It was Penn State stopping themselves a little bit.
Ohio State's defense, the team speed, I just think it's hard. You see it on tape and then you see it on the field. It's two different things. How many defenses have more team speed, I think, than Ohio State? I think you
Nobody.
Probably, I don't know, what are we talking about? Maybe Georgia, maybe Alabama.
Alabama just doesn't have a lot of team speed.
Is built a certain way. Yep. Miles Sanders didn't really get on track with some of the bread and butter stuff they were doing earlier in the year. So the ball's got to go somewhere. It wasn't really working out so much in the middle. A lot of what Trace did was ad-libbing or, you know, pulling the ball and scrambling. So I know Penn State didn't have a lot of options. I think that you have to try and keep the Ohio State defense honest a little bit.
The opportunity to create separation for Penn State was there early. First half, they just did not create as much separation as they ended up needing.
And don't you also have to run plays to set up other – if you do, hey, this is effective and we just run the exact same play 53 times in a row, the defense will catch on. But
you said the Tommy Stevens play where they ran him wide. It didn't look real impressive, but the next time he got the ball, it was the fumble. But had he not fumbled, there was a chance for a big play down the field.
That's exactly it. You sometimes run plays to set up something else. Anyway, let's move on. Mike from Shillington, he wants to know, the Ohio State-Michigan game will always be the big game for those two schools, but is it wrong for me to think Ohio State-Penn State is becoming the bigger game from a national perception? Looking back at the last three games and what the future holds, I think with recruiting and so on, I could only see this series getting bigger. Your thoughts, why don't we start with you, Andrew?
Oh, Urban Meyer hates playing Penn State. Let's just say that out loud. He hates it. And they've won, what, three of the last four games, right?
Yeah.
And they've beaten Michigan five straight times, and he's beaten Jim Harbaugh head-to-head every single time. And he doesn't hate that game. In other words, he thinks in his mind that the Penn State's the harder team to beat. That's why it's a bigger national game, because the gap between the two teams isn't as big. The Michigan Ohio State thing is a tradition and rivalry thing. The Penn State Ohio State thing is a legit football thing. That's just my two cents.
I think the recruiting angle is huge too.
That is a good point.
Four of the last five Penn State Ohio State games have been borderline or instant classics. But even the 14 game, that Ohio State team won the national championship, and they were life or death to win
right
against a 17, I think it was 17 point underdog.
Saeed Blacknell.
2016, 2017, 2018. I think it absolutely, big picture, is a bigger game now than Michigan Ohio State.
I wholeheartedly agree. The tradition doesn't stand up to what's happening on the football field when it comes to Michigan and Ohio State as compared to Penn State and Ohio State.
And over the last several years, where has Michigan finished in the East Division of the Big Ten?
I don't know, third and fourth, right?
What is it, November 3rd? Is that the date we're circling? Isn't it Penn State at Michigan,
Penn
November
State
3rd?
We're at gonna, Michigan. Michigan better circle it too, because they need that game more. You know, in some respects, you can say right now, who needs that game more? Michigan needs to win that game.
All right. I didn't mean to sidetrack things, but let's move on.
That means shut up.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Andy. All right. This is Frank from Warminster. This came in before the Ohio State game, okay? And this is one of the questions I was talking to you guys about earlier. After four games, it looks like Ohio State is going to crush Penn State. I'll be surprised if both running backs for Ohio State don't go over 100 yards. What can we possibly hope to have happen for us to have a chance? I'm not even going to read his question or... But just respond to that, what the expectation level was prior to this game.
Two things jump out to me, and we talked about it last week, and I am convinced I'm right about this. The whiteout is worth at least 10 points to Penn State in a big game. It's not one possession. I think it's double digits. The other thing is Penn State flipped the script. Instead of substituting liberally as they have all year on defense and paying a heavy price for it in games, Appalachian State, Pittsburgh, Illinois, they said, we can't do that against Ohio State, or they're going to score every time our backups are in. So they sacrificed the fourth quarter for the first three quarters. They couldn't get, I guess, a big enough lead. But you look at the snap count. They played their defensive tackles on almost every series. You didn't see any backups. You didn't see Ricky Slade. They just played their A players as long as they could play them, and they ran out of gas. Those are the two things that jumped out to me that really were different from the first four games.
Mine's pretty simple. I pay homage to Penn State's former offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead. Talent trumps experience. I mean, experience trumps talent until the talent gets experience. And Penn State's younger players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, seven or eight of them, were first-year starters or regulars. They're starting to show their talent more and more and more. It was simply that.
Well, let's move on and kind of follow the point here. Rob from Wall, New Jersey asks, did our defense finally come to life? Do you think we'll see this effort the rest of the year, or was this some whiteout mojo? Now, you mentioned, you know, it's like double digit, meaning the whiteout, but did the defense find something? Did they mature? Did something click? I realize what happened in the end, but did something click with this team?
I think the jury is still out. I think that they can't afford to play their starters this much, or by the end of October, they're all going to be just exhausted, and they have too many meaningful games coming up in November. This is the problem: is they have to find some depth, and they have to find some linebackers and some defensive linemen. You know, they only played three corners. One of them, I know, at least one of them didn't tackle very well, and hasn't tackled very well all season. I think that Penn State's best players on defense are improving. I just don't think that the other guys have really developed quite to where they want them to be.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I think they're getting better, but I don't think they've turned a corner. But I definitely think even despite losing, that in some respects to me, they took a step forward. But it's not a 4 or 5 game thing. It was going to take 7, 8, 9 games all along. You want them playing their best football late in the year, and it was never going to happen this early. There was too many of them.
Okay, so
the depth is a huge issue, though.
This is my question. So this is Jim from Berwick asks, they played so well on defense, and at the end of the game, everything fell apart the last 8 minutes. Is it just they got tired, or was this strategically, was it a coaching issue? Because we've seen this over the last couple of years where they've had double-digit leads in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground somewhere, Jimmy. I think they had to find a way to spot play some of the backups, given down and distance or something, or at the end of quarters. But it was pretty clear to me that they were a step slow, on defense in the fourth quarter. The rush wasn't really getting there. They were struggling, even though Ohio State was obviously trying to run screen plays at them. They struggled to get off blocks. They struggled to make tackles. I just think they hit the wall with about 10 minutes to go. Usually when you're in a whiteout game, when you're up double digits in the fourth quarter, the game should be over. And I just felt like it was going to come down to, could Penn State's offense answer, because you knew that every time Ohio State got the ball, they're going to be tough to stop.
I think Penn State's defense got tired because of the snap counts. I like the fact that Brent Pry did it differently and went more aggressive rather than just sitting back and hoping the other offense doesn't throttle him as they have in the other comebacks. In other words, he tried something different. I think they were just too gassed to impact the pocket. And Ohio State's got the guys that can short pass you and burn you, because they are fast and open space.
Having said all of that, they still were right there at the end of the game.
Right,
and it had one or two plays gone differently, we're talking about a totally different mindset. And hey, look, is Penn State going to be in the national playoffs?
Right.
Let's get one more in real quick.
Sure.
John from Neskahoning, do you think the staff tries to spin the loss to the elite recruits in attendance as them being the missing piece to winning these type of games?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. You are the missing piece right here. Do you feel all of this? Do you feel this whiteout? Do you feel the essence of the big game? Do you feel us in the fourth quarter, life or death in a game? You are the difference.
We got to pick a winner.
Pick a winner. What do we got, guys? Who do we like?
I thought it was the guy that asked the Ohio State-Michigan national game.
Yeah.
Big question. That was the best one.
I think that one was also. That's Mike from Shillington.
Congrats. Good question.
Congrats. And let's move on to quarter number 4 from the Labatt Studio.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah. And more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.